as we know, is Parshas Bereishis. And in Parshas Bereishis, you can talk about almost anything. In fact, the Vilna Gaon in the very beginning of the Parsha writes that there's like a remez to everything and anything in the very beginning of the Torah. So obviously, we can really talk about anything, but I think something that is extremely relevant, especially when we are at this time of the year, not only related to the Parsha, is the idea of Mashav HaRuach U'morid HaGeshem. As we know, we just began to recite Mashav HaRuach on Shemini Atzeres, during the summer months when it's not really officially the rainy season, at least in Eretz Yisrael, so we do not recite Mashav HaRuach. And I just thought it was a good time when our Parsha, as well as next week's Parsha, talk about a whole lot about rain. So I just thought this was a good time for us to discuss it. First of all, when we talk about Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGeshem, it finds itself in which bracha in Shmona Esrei? It's not a trick. It's in the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, which is, not the first, the second, I'm sorry, which is Mechaya HaMesim. Mechaya HaMesim in the Gemara is actually referred to as the heading of Gevuros Hashem. It's the bracha in Shmona Esrei where we talk about the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gvura of the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, what greater way to demonstrate the Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to highlight the fact that he's able to be Mechaya Mason? He's able to actually take one who is already deceased and bring them back to life. What's fascinating about this bracha is that in Mechaya HaMesim, you have a number of different mentions of Tchiyas HaMesim. It's not just one mention, it's over and over and over again. Mechaya Mesim Atar Rab Lohoshia. Mechaya Mesim Barachamim Rabin. Mechaya Mamunasa Lushene Afar. Melech Memesim Mechaya Matzmiach Yeshua. Veneman Atalahachios Mesim. Right? How many times can we talk about the same thing when we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who is a Gibor, who is able to be Mechaya the Mesim? So I think that there is something here that really speaks to a number of different elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to be Mechaya HaMesim. Number one, when we start off the bracha, we talk about Mechaya Mesim Atav. Mechaya Mesim Atav means right now you are Mechaya HaMesim. What do you mean? But you look around the world and you don't have your grandparents here and you don't have your great-grandparents and Moshe Rabbeinu is not alive. So what do you mean? Mechaya Mesim Atav Rav LaHoshia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mechaya Mesim. So what does it mean? The answer is that's a reference to the fact that every day when we wake up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the new ability to live life. We say it every morning. Hamachzir Neshamos Lefgarim Mesim. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the fact that B'yadcha Afkid Ruchi, we gave the Ribono Shel Olam our soul. We gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu our lives when we went to sleep last night. And when we wake up, it's Hamachzir Neshamos Lefgarim Mesim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically gave us life once again. So I think the first reference in Shmona Esrei is the fact that every single day we experience a Tchiyas HaMesim. The Gemara says that Shina, going to sleep, is Echad Mishishim B'misa. It's in some way connected to death. It's an experience of death. It's a person stopping all other activity, and then they basically die for the night, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them life once again. Which is what we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Modim Anachnu Lach, Al Chayenu HaMesurim B'yadecha, on our lives that are given over into your hands, which is what we do every single time that we go to sleep. In fact, in the Hallelukas, we say every day, Kol HaNeshama Tehalelka. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, Kol HaNeshama? The Gemara says, Al Kol Neshima U'Neshima. Every breath that I take, I should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's not a given that I'm going to be able to take a breath. It's something that is a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. Think about somebody who is in the ICU, and they're on a machine that helps them breathe. They're on, you know, some kind of assistance. Every breath that they take, the family members look at it as, oh, that's a miracle that they're still able to breathe. It's a miracle that they're able to do it. And that's really, in essence, the way we are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every breath that we take is a Tchiyas HaMesim. So I think that's what it means. The first phrase that we say, Mechaya Mesim Ata, is that every single day we experience, and every moment of every day we experience a Tchiyas HaMesim. After that, we talk about Mechaya Mesim Berachamim Rabin. So what is that? So some suggest that maybe what it means is, the Gemara tells us that Rishoyim b'chayeyim kruyim mesim. A Rasha, even when they're alive, is referred to as a mace, because they're not living a meaningful life. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues berachamim rabim to give them life also, even though they're not deserving. A Rasha doesn't do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. A Rasha is not really following the program, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows them to continue to live. Shema yachzuru b'tshuva. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu always waits Maybe the person will at some point see the light. Maybe the person at some point will have a change of heart and will feel differently about the way that they are leading their lives. So that's what it means. Mechayim meisim berachamim ravim. That is with tremendous amount of rachmanos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows a person to continue to live even though they are doing things that may not be right at all. We then talk about Mekayim Emunasa L'Yishenei Afar. Who are the Yishenei Afar? Isn't everybody buried in the ground? So who's Yishenei Afar? So that's a reference to the Avos, the Yishenei Chevron. It's talking about the ones who are Mekayim Emunasa L'Yishenei Afar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised our forefathers that they're going to be the ones who are going to have a nation, they're going to have a Jewish people. And maybe that's a reference, Mekayim Emunasa L'Yishenei Afar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Avos that at some point we're going to get Eretz Yisrael, we're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to have the opportunity. So some suggest maybe that's what it means. Mekayim Emunasa L'Yishenei Afar is a reference to the Avos who are buried in the Afar. Obviously every mace is buried in the Afar. But again, you have to think about it when you go through that Brach and Shemona Esrei. Why is there a mention so many times about this very same idea of Tchias HaMeisim? We then say, Melech Meimus U'Mechayu Matzmiach Yeshua. Can there be a greater time in history than now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meimus? He literally destroyed the Jewish people in the Holocaust, and the Shoah, and then Matzmiach Yeshua, look where we are, 75 years later, how we have Medinas Yisrael. There's never been so much Torah study in the world, there's never been so many yeshivas, and so many seminaries, and everything. Can there be a greater time than that, of the Tchias HaMeisim of the Jewish people? And then we talk in the end, that is in the future tense, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us to a time of the ultimate Tchias HaMeisim, which is when He will bring back those who have been deceased, and He will give them the opportunity to come back and re-experience this earth. As we know, the Shemona Esrei is constructed, it's built, it's designed in a very particular way. And what I find fascinating is the Beis Yosef quotes something from the Shibalei HaLeket that I'd like to learn together here. If you look here, it's the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Tefila writes the following, where he explains, you daven Shmona Esrei, and you look through all the brachos, and you find this bracha talks about parnasa, and that bracha talks about refuah, and this bracha talks about das, and that bracha talks about Yeshua and Geula and Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. But there's so much more to it. There's more to it. The way that the Beis Yosef explains it is as follows. The Shmona Esrei, he says, is something that really developed over time. After each great icon in our history had the opportunity to go through a certain experience, he writes that that personality then instituted a bracha to highlight the experience that they had. So let's go through it. And I think ever since I saw this Shibalei HaLeket quoted in the Beis Yosef, it just changes the context of your Shmona Esrei. It changes your understanding of what the Shmona Esrei is all about. So let's see. Matsasi Agada. What does it mean when it says that Chazal instituted the brachas of the Shmona Esrei al ha-seder? It was in order. What does it mean in order? Of course there's an order. You don't switch it out of the order. So it means zeh seder olam. It's an order of Jewish history. Shekach matzinu yudches brachas shel tefila me'olam hayu mesukanos zu achar zu. Kivin shebo anshe knesset ha-gedola kalalu metiknum kisidran. So we have the understanding that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came along and said, oh, it's a good idea to daven Shmona Esrei every day, 18 brachos, and these are what the brachos should be. No, that's not what happened. What happened was, when Avraham Avinu had something happen to him in his life that was significant, he said a bracha. That bracha was floating around. Yitzchak, Yaakov, and as we'll see, each of the Avos, each of the great personalities in our history, came along and instituted a bracha, and then the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah said, hey, it would be a nice idea to take all of those singular, individual brachas, and put them together to comprise the Shmona Esrei as we have it today. So let's see. It all began, Kishanitzel Avram me'ur kazdim, and Avram Avinu was saved from the experience at Ur Kazdim. Paschu Malachi Hasharis v'amru magen Avram. The Malachi Hasharis were so overwhelmed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Avram Avinu, and as a response to the great miracle of Avram Avinu's life being saved, they then said the bracha of magen Avram. The next thing that came along was Yitzchak, as we know, was tied up onto the Mizbeach. He was about to be slaughtered. He was about to lose his life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu swooped in at the last moment and said, Al tishlach yadcha lanar, do not take the life of Yitzchak Avinu. It was at that moment, Kishenekad Yitzchak, Amru Mechai HaMeisim. The Malachi HaSharis at that moment said, oh, look at that. Yitzchak Avinu was basically dead. He was not going to have any future of life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved his life. And on that occasion they said, Mechaya HaMesim. I just feel once you see all of this, it gives you such a different feeling when you say all the brachas of Shemona Esrei. You know, we daven every single day, and we daven Shemona Esrei multiple times a day, and we have the opportunity to just see the layers upon layers that are there, innate within the words of the Shemona Esrei. Kishaba Yaakov v'paraga b'sharei rachamim. When Yaakov Avinu comes, and he falls asleep, and he says, v'zeh shara shamayim, he says, I'm now at the gates to the heavens, and he sees Malachi Elokim, Olam V'yardim, on the Sulam, Musa V'artza, V'rosha Magia Hashamayim, he doesn't know what's going on. He says, you know, Higdish Shmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amru HaKel HaKadosh. At that moment, they said, HaKel HaKadosh. Obviously, there's something fantastic going on in the world that's beyond our understanding. Kishalimid Gavriel as Yosef Shivim Lashon. When Gavriel taught Yosef HaTzadik the 70 languages, which is a famous Rashi on Chumash, Amru at that time, the Malachi Asheri said, Chonein Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives man the ability to understand and to learn. And that is how Yosef had the ability to learn all of the Shivim Lashon that he needed to know at the time. Kishara Ruvain Maisa Bila, V'niknisa Alav Misa. When Ruvain did something that perhaps he should not have done, the Gemara tells us that Ruvain did wrong. And at that time, he realized he should really pay with his life. B'shav B'tshuva, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to continue to live on because he did tshuva. As the pasuk says, Yechiru Uvein Va'al Yamos, Amru Harotze B'tshuva. As a result of that overwhelming experience of tshuva that he went through, and the fact that he was given the ability to continue on life, he then said Harotze B'tshuva. Kisha Asa Yehuda Maisa Tamar. When Yehuda did whatever he did with Tamar, Va'amar Hotzia B'tisaref, Va'amar Tzadka Mimeni, V'nislach Lo, Oso Avon, and at that moment, even though he did not originally take responsibility, and then it came back at him to haunt him. So at that moment, he said, Chanun Hamar B'lesloach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts not only people's tshuva, but he gives them slicha. He actually is Mochel B'saleach. Kishamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Mitzrayim L'Yisrael, V'Ga'alti Eschem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he's going to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, and he's going to redeem them, Amru the Malachi Ashari said, Goel Yisrael, in reaction and response to that, they thanked, they praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being the one who redeems the Jewish people. Kisheripe Rafael es Avraham, when Rafael HaMalach came and gave a refuah to Avraham Avinu, they said, Rofei Cholim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the ability in the world for people to be healed. Kishazar Yitzchak Umatzamei Asha'arim, the psukim describe that when Yitzchak went and he was extremely successful in business, as a result of that, they responded and they said, Mevarech Hashanim. Kishaba Yaakov leMitzrayim and Eskaptu HaShvatim im Yosef. When the whole family was reunited, and now Yaakov Avinu was once again together back with his favorite son, Yosef, Amru, they said, Mekabetz Nidchei Ami Yisrael. What a scene this is, that all the children of Yaakov Avinu are back together again with their father. Kishamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Ve'elo HaMishpatim, Amru the Malachi Asher, he said, Melach Oyev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who loves a justice system. Kishatavu HaMitzrim B'Yamsif, Amar, Shover Oivim U'Machnia Zedim. We see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes those who make the Jewish people suffer. Kishamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYaakov V'Yosef, Yashis Yadu Alei Necha U'Batach HaDavar V'Achar Kach Neskayim, Amru Mishan U'Miftach LaTzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him everything's going to be fine. And that's what ended up happening. And you see that we can rely on the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mishan U'Miftach LaTzadikim Kishabana Shlomo Beis HaMikdash Amar Boni Yerushalayim. When the Jewish people went through the Yamsav and they sang Shira, then the Malachim said, Matzmiach Kerin Yeshua. When the Jewish people were crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he responded to them, the Malachi Ashari said, Shomea Tfila. When the Shechina came down into the Mishkan, and it actually was something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt comfortable having his presence in, that's when they said, Amachzer Shechinaso Letzion, which is a little bit complicated because it was not in Zion, it was in the Mishkan. But still, when Shlomo HaMelech put the Aron Lefnai V'Lefnim, he said, Atov Shimcha Lechana Elohodos. And when the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, and they were Tov and Asati Shalom Ba'aretz, that is when the bracha of HaMevorech Es Am Yisrael Ba'Shalom was instituted. And I found this Shibalei Aleket to be so powerful, so meaningful, when you go through the Shemona Esrei, to think about all of Jewish history coming together, and how all of these brachas were instituted at very different times. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah just streamlined it and put it into a formal context, but it's something that is very powerful thought, that we have Avram Yitzchak Yaakov and Shlomo HaMelech and Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim and all these different experiences all come together to comprise the beautiful text of the Shemona Esrei as we know it today. So the entire structure of Shemona Esrei was designed and fashioned in a very particular way. Let's look at the Gemara Maseches Brachos. The Gemara actually says, commenting on a pasuk that we say in the Slichos, "Lishma el harina ve'el hatfila." Right? Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one that listens to the rina and the tefila. So the Gemara asks, what is the difference between rina and tefila? Aren't they the same thing? So the Gemara says, no, rina is praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefila is when I actually make the ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, b'makom rina sham tehei tefila. When is it appropriate for me to ask a bakasha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to offer a tefila, to ask him for something tangible? It's only b'makom rina, it's only after I've already gone out of my way to praise him, only then do I have the ability or the right to then ask for something. That's what the Gemara tells us. And if you look here, the Gemara Maseches Brachos Lamed Beis, Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin, the same Gemara, La'olam Yisader Adam Shivcho Shamakom Va'achar Kach Yispala. The Gemara says I should first make sure that I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and only follow that by a tefila, by a bakasha. How do we know this? We learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu Parshas Va'eschana. When he's asking, begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow him to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael, the first thing he says is Hashem Elokim Atah HaChilosa. He first says the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's going on an extensive discussion about all the wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done, and only after he's finished with that does he say Ebrana Ve'era. So now that I've praised you, now I'm going to move on to the next thing, which is my request. And what is that request? I would like you to allow me access into the land of Eretz Yisrael. You'll notice that in Berchas HaMazon we have a number of harachmans at the end of the Berachas HaMazon. So we start off by saying the first few, which are the same formulation, the same format. Harachman hu yimloch aleinu li'olavet. Harachman yisbarach b'shamayim v'aretz. Harachman yishtabach l'dor dorim. All of those are shvach to HaKadosh Baruch. Followed by, what's the next one? Harachman hu yifarnaseinu b'chavod. Only after we have then first formulated and structured some of the shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do we then move on to make a request, which is, give us a parnasa, hu yifarnaseinu b'chavod. But before we do that, it's really not appropriate to ask a bakasha of the Ribono Shel Olam, because we have not yet praised him, which is why it's so important that when we daven every day, we begin the davening with Psuka de Zimra. That's what the Psuka de Zimra is all about. We spend 10 or 15 minutes telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much we appreciate him. Gadol Hashem u'mehulo miyod. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the wonderful things that we feel are so unusual about him. And that is why it is important that we start our davening every day with some kind of shvach, not only in the structure of the Shemona Esrei itself, but also in the way that we formulate the tefillah with the Psukei de Zimra in the beginning. So much so that the Mishnah Berurah says, an interesting halacha, he quotes from Rabbi Kiva Eiger, what happens if a person forgets Mashiv HaRuach, or a person forgets to say V'sein Talamater? What's the halacha? You have to repeat the Shemona Esrei. Now, there are some things in the Shemona Esrei, if you forget it, you do repeat. Other things in the Shemona Esrei, if you forget it, you do not repeat. I just had someone came over with a question on Yom Tov, that we know that when it's Shabbos and Yom Tov together, you have to say in Musaf the Karbanos of Shabbos and the Karbanos of Yom Tov. So it gets very complicated. Right? In the Art Scroll Machzor, you have the gray boxes and then the non-gray boxes, and some congregations add this and some add that. But there are certain things you're supposed to say to highlight the fact that today is Musaf of Shabbos, and to highlight the fact that today is Musaf of Yom Tov as well. So this person came over to me and said, they basically said the regular Yom Tov Shemona Esrei and made no mention of the fact that today was Shabbos. What's the halacha? Halacha is that you need to repeat Shemona Esrei. Why? Because you have to talk about the Karban Musaf of Shabbos. And if you only talk about the Karban Musaf of Yom Tov, you have not fulfilled your obligation of highlighting Shabbos. So anyway, this is something that different insertions into the Shemona Esrei require you to repeat the Shemona Esrei. Other insertions into the Shemona Esrei, we assume, if you do it, great. If you forget to do it, it is not something that would require you to go back. So here the Mishnah Berurah says, commenting on that halacha, what if a person forgets to say V'sein Talamater or Mashav HaRuach? So they have to go back and daven. Right? The Mishnah Berurah, when you go back and daven, it would make sense to say the Psukei de Zimra over also. Now most people are not happy about that halacha, because it's bad enough I have to say Shemona Esrei over. Now you're going to tell me I have to spend an extra 10, 15 minutes saying the Psukei de Zimra over. So most people don't do it, but the Mishnah Berurah does say that it would make sense to do that, because after all, your Shemona Esrei didn't really work because you forgot to say what you were supposed to say. And in order to have the Shemona Esrei be most meaningful and most productive, you're supposed to first have the introduction of saying Psuka Dezimra, which is why the Mishnah Berurah also says that women should be encouraged to recite Psuka Dezimra when they daven as well. Obviously, time permitting, but says the Mishnah Berurah, there's no reason why a woman should not say Psuka Dezimra. After all, this is the structure, and all of that is learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, where he first begins with a Shevach, and then only after he gets into the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does he then enter into the discussion of the Bakasha, of what he's asking the Ribono Shel Olam to do for him. So that is the way the Shemona Esrei is structured. If that is the case, the Gemara then says, let's see together, the Gemara Maseches Megillah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, it's here on the bottom of the sheet, Tanya, Kuvchav Zikenim Umehem Kamen Aviyim Tiknu Yudches Brachos Al HaSeder. The Gemara says there were 120 great Chachamim who came up with the text of the Shemona Esrei the way we have it today. Rav Yehuda said, Al Yishal Adam Sarachav Lo B'Shalash Rishonos V'Lo B'Shalash Acharonos. You're not allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything in the first three brachos of the Shemona Esrei, because as we mentioned, the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei are reserved for Shevach. All I'm supposed to be doing then is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about the last three brachos of Shemona Esrei? Also not. Why? Because the last three brachos of Shemona Esrei, all I do is Hodah. I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving me the opportunity to talk to him about all these issues that we mentioned. So the first three I have Shevach, the last three I have Hodah, and in both of those sections, says the Gemara, you're not supposed to add in any kind of Bakasha. Writes the Gemara. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. It's repeated also in the Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Daled and in Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Yud Beis Hilchos Tefillah that one should not add in any bakasha in the first three brachos of the Shemona Esrei, which should make all of us wonder. What should it make us wonder? Yeah? Forget Masha Beruach for a minute. What should make us wonder before Masha Beruach? Think Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Tshuva. What? We add in Zachreinu L'chaim. We add in Micha Mocha Avarachamim. So how do we add that in? The Gemara clearly says you're not allowed to make any bakasha during the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei. So why do we add those in there? So this is a very important question that is raised in the Masechah Sofrim. Masechah Sofrim writes that Bekoshi Hitiru, this is not something that was so easy to come by. It's not something that was accepted by everyone. In fact, the Bahag even writes that there were many of the Gaonim who said that we should not say Zachorin Lechayim in the first paragraph of Shemona Esrei. Now, to say Micha Mocha Avarachamim, that is okay. Why? That's Sheva. You're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu further. You're saying Micha Mocha Avarachamim, who is like you, who has so much Rachmanos? Zocha Yitzur of Lechayim Rachamim. All of that is just piling onto the Sheva. Great. But Zachorin Lechayim is clearly asking a Bakasha. Right, you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zachreinu L'chaim, Melech HaFetz B'chaim, Chasveinu V'Sefer HaChaim. So how can I do that in the first three brachas of the Shemona Esrei? That would be something that would seem to be inappropriate. So the Rishonim all struggle with this. How do you explain why we have an insertion during Rosh Hashanah and Kippur Aseret Yemei Tshuva when in fact the Gemara clearly states that you're not allowed to do that? How is that to be understood? So the Rishonim explains so beautifully that there's a difference between a Yachid who is making a request and a Tzibur. If I'm making a personal request, I want a parnasa. So instead of saying it in Baruch Aleinu, I'm going to throw it into the first three brachas of the Shemona Esrei. That would be inappropriate because that is a bakasha during the segment of Shemona Esrei, which is really supposed to be limited to Shevach. However, when you have a tzibur, when you have a community who are all asking for something together, Tosas writes that would be okay. Why would that be okay? Why should there be a difference between a yachid and a tzibur? And when we say Zachreinu L'chaim, I'm not saying remember me, I'm saying remember all of us for life. V'chasveinu b'sefer achaim, write all of us in the Sefer Achaim. Why is that okay to offer a bakasha on behalf of a tzibur when we would say that a bakasha on behalf of a yachid would be deemed inappropriate? What is the difference? So the Rishonim explain as follows. For a tzibur to say together to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we as a tzibur are very powerful. Right? A community can do a lot of things together, much more than an individual can do. They can accomplish a lot more. A community has a lot of power. For that community to say, we are powerless without you. Zachreinu l'chaim. If you don't give us life as a community, we have nothing. Is there a greater shvach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than that? Than to say that an entire community is dependent on you, and if you don't provide them with what they need, they will have nothing? That's part of the shevach. For a yachid, for an individual to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, oh, I need a parnasa. Okay, so you can get a parnasa by going to find a job. You can get a parnasa by going to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not really, but one can say such a thing. For an entire community to submit themselves humbly and say, Zachreinu l'chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't give us life, we have nothing. That's a tremendous shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's saying, an entire community is dependent on you, not just one little person. An entire community, the entire world is dependent on you. That is the greatest shevach in the world. And that's why the Rishonim say there would be a distinction between a tzibur, making an insertion in the middle of the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei, whereas a yachid, whereas an individual, it would not be an appropriate thing for that person to do. Which now brings us to the insertion that we now add between Shmini Atzeres and Pesach, which is the insertion of Mashiv HaRuach. You had a question?
Yeah. Is Sim Shalom also asking for things, like we're asking for peace?
That's a very good question. Is Sim Shalom asking for peace? I don't know offhand what the answer is, but it is discussed. I just don't remember offhand, but it is a very important question that is discussed. Sim Shalom is in the last segment of the Shemona Esrei, which should be Hodah. So, yes, you're asking a very good question. So, when we come to our insertion of Mashiv HaRuach, the Gemara refers to it as Gevuros Keshamet. We refer to it as the strength, the power of the rain. That's the way the Gemara talks about Mashiv HaRuach. However, as we know, we add Mashiv HaRuach now, but then there's a second insertion where we talk about rain, which is V'sein Talu Matar, which we also add at this period of the year. Now, V'sein Talu Matar, the Gemara refers to as, anyone know? She'ela. The Gemara refers to V'sein Talu Matar as She'ela, one word, we ask. And Mashiv HaRuach is referred to as Gevuros Keshamet. What is the difference between Mashiv HaRuach and V'sein Talu Matar? Why is Mashiv HaRuach referred to as Gevuros Keshamet and V'sein Talu Matar is referred to as She'ela? So there's one major distinction. Mashiv HaRuach Amarad HaGeshem is, we're saying that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the one who is Mashiv HaRuach Amarad HaGeshem. We're not asking for anything, we're just pointing out the fact that you are the amazing God that gives us rain, that sustains all of us. That's why it belongs in the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei, because it's part of our Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we see the Ribbono Shel Olam is the power behind all the rain that we have in the world and everything that comes along with it, all the benefit that we gain as a result of the bracha of rain that He gives us. That's why His Mashiv HaRuach is referred to in the first three brachas. She'ela, which is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is later on in Shemona Esrei. V'sein Talu Matar LeBracha is something that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give us rain, which is not at all connected to the Mashiv HaRuach, which is this highlighting the great strength and power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Now, you'll notice there's a difference in when we begin to say Mashiv HaRuach and when we begin to say V'sein Talu Matar. We begin to say Mashiv HaRuach right now on Shmini Atzeres, right? We daven for the rain. That's when we start saying Mashiv HaRuach. However, we only start saying V'sein Talu Matar, in Eretz Yisrael at least, on, anyone know? What? 14 days after Sukkot, Zayin Cheshvan. Why 14 days after Sukkot? What's that about? Now, why do we only start saying it in America on December 4th or 5th is a totally separate question. Maybe we'll talk about that in next week's year. But the question now is, why do we, in Eretz Yisrael, why do they start Mashiv HaRuach right away after Sukkot, and they only begin to say the V'sein Talu Matar later on, 2 weeks later, yeah? Right, so why wouldn't they start right after Sukkot? Yeah, let's hear. Correct.
Back to, from Yerushalayim, back to where they were living, and it's like, it was a
Correct. So the Gemara basically says, you're very correct. The Gemara says the furthest distance that one could travel in Eretz Yisrael from Yerushalayim back to their home is 2 weeks. Nowadays, it's obviously much less. But back in the days of the Gemara, when they did not have cars, they did not have trains, they didn't have planes, the only way to get from one place to the next was either by foot or by animal. So then, the maximum amount of travel time to get back from the mitzvah of Aliyah Leregel, where you're in Yerushalayim, back to your home, is going to be maximum 2 weeks. As a result of that, the Gemara says, what's going to happen? You're going to have somebody who traveled all the way to Yerushalayim. He came for Aliyah Leregel. Now he's going to be traveling home, and on his way home, it's going to start pouring. And once it pours, then all the roads are muddy. And once it's muddy, he's going to get stuck with his animal. He's not going to want to come back to Aliyah Leregel next time. So therefore, we wait 2 weeks after Yom Tov until everybody has made it home, back from Aliyah Leregel, back from Yerushalayim. Now everyone's back safely. And only then do we daven for the rain. Interesting. There's a few implications of that. Number one, we believe that when you daven for rain, it actually comes. Right? That's the first understanding. When you daven for the rain, it can actually come. It's realistic. It's a reasonable possibility that it's going to happen. And as a result of that, we don't want the people to get stuck who came from all the way out in Eretz Yisrael, who live far away from Yerushalayim. So we're going to wait 2 weeks after Yom Tov to make sure that they all get home safely. But the understanding of that is that we believe our tefillos actually have meaning. Something can actually happen because of a tefillah that we offer. So that's number one. Number two, what we see from that is that Masha Baruach is clearly not a bakasha. Masha Baruach, if it was a bakasha, if it was asking for rain, we would wait 2 weeks to begin saying that as well. But we don't. We wait 2 weeks to start asking the Saint Talamata Levracha. We don't wait 2 weeks to say Masha Baruach, which means Masha Baruach is clearly just a shevach of the Ribono Shel Olam. And we can say a shevach at any time. So that's why we begin the Shevach right away on Sukkot, because this is the rainy season. However, we wait off 2 weeks until we begin saying the Saint Talamata Levracha. Maybe we'll talk, as I mentioned, in the subsequent shiurim a little bit more about the Saint Talamata Levracha, what's it all about. And also, actually, I had an interesting issue this year, because I went to visit Australia in May. I was there for 10 days. And as when I was there, it's basically the opposite seasons of here. So when I was there in May, it was basically like the fall. So they should really be saying Masha Baruach at the opposite time of year than we're saying it. So something to think about. Maybe we'll talk about it. But for now, this is what we have. We have Masha Baruach that starts right now, and the Saint Talamata which starts on Zayin Cheshvan, and in America it starts on December 4th or 5th. Yeah?
But if Masha Baruach is only Shabbat, then why don't we say it all year round? Like, why is it only...
Oh, so that's a very good question. That's what I hope to get to. So if it's a Shabbat, then why don't we say it all year round? We're going to get to that. So the Ritva asks, why is Masha Baruach referred to as Gevuros Geshamim? How do you see the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in rain, in particular? What is that all about? So the Ritva, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, explains. This can be found in Maseches Tainus, Daf Beis. The Ritva writes as follows. The reason why it's in Maseches Tainus is because the Gemara in Tainus talks about when we institute a fast because a community does not have rain, because they have a drought. So there's a lot of discussion about when the rain comes, when the rain doesn't come, when it's supposed to come, when it shouldn't come. So there, the Ritva writes as follows. The Gemara tells us that there are many, many different things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, so to speak, ambassadors that are able to take care of for him. So he has Malachim, Rafael brings a Refuah. It's not that Rafael has the power, it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowers Rafael to go bring a Refuah. And different messengers do different things, right? We have doctors, we have all kinds of professionals in our lives that provide us with services. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't always come with his own two hands and do things for us. He sends shluchim, harbi shluchim lamakom. However, the Gemara says, there are three aspects of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never given over to anyone else to help out with. What are those three aspects of life, says the Gemara? Number one, mafteach shel geshama. You ever look? Meteorologists can predict all they want, and yet, so often their predictions are wrong when it comes to rain. How are their predictions wrong? What do you mean? They looked at it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides it's going to rain or it's not going to rain. And the meteorologist can try from today till tomorrow to get it right, but it's not always going to be right. You can sit here, it's fine. There's a plug, there's an outlet up here. Number two says the Gemara, Mafteach Shel Chaya. Mafteach Shel Chaya means the moment that a woman is going to give birth. So a doctor can say that generally a woman, the gestational period is 9 months. When the 9 months is going to end, they can tell you the due date is going to be around here, a window of time. When is it going to come to an end? When is the actual moment of delivery going to happen? It's impossible to predict. We don't know. How often does a woman go to a doctor one afternoon? Doctor says everything's fine, nothing's happening, and that night, all of a sudden, the baby's out. Quickly. How can that be? Says the Gemara, Mafteah Shalchaya is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never handed over to any of his other emissaries. That is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines on his own, which is why whole discussion in the postgame whether or not you should hasten a delivery. Right? They can give all kinds of medications today to try to speed up a delivery. Are we allowed to do that or not? So sometimes a doctor wants to do it just because they want to go on vacation, and it's much easier for them to deal with the patient before they go on vacation. You think I'm joking, but it's true. It happens all the time. Where a doctor, it's not malicious of them. The woman's already due. The woman's already overdue. And the doctor will say, okay, I'm going on vacation in 2 days. Let's just take care of this before I leave. So are we allowed to do that or perhaps not? I actually got a very interesting shaila this Yom Tov. There was a woman who was expecting. And when I say was, she had a baby already. Everyone's healthy. Everything's great. But the shaila was, yeah, she's great. So, actually, she had a C-section, and she's in PA school. Anyone here planning on going to PA school? So listen up here. She had a C-section, which is a full invasive surgery. That's a real surgery. She's in PA school, and they told her she has to be back in class, you know, I think 2.5 or 3 weeks later. Nothing to discuss, like in person, not Zoom. Keep that in mind. So number one, you shouldn't have a C-section. You should never need it. Natural delivery should come easy to you. But whatever, I thought that was crazy. How can they expect someone to be back in school after they had such a surgery? But anyway, they told her either she can drop out of the whole school and try again next year, or she can come back to class and live through it. Anyway, so the shaila was that she was due 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. Around 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. And she was then overdue. Nothing was going on. So Erev Rosh Hashanah was, Rosh Hashanah this year was not a 3-day yom tov, it was 2 days, right? So the question was, it was like the middle of the week. So the question was, should she be induced before yom tov? And this way, they won't have to be mechalel yom tov to go into the hospital on yom tov if she goes into labor naturally at home. Option A. Or should they take a chance and stay home for Yom Tov, and whatever happens, happens. If she goes into labor, then they'll deal with it then. And if they have to get into a car or an ambulance on Yom Tov, then so be it. That's what they'll do. So is it better to look ahead and say, hey, why not try to avoid Chilul Yom Tov when the woman is 2 weeks overdue anyway? The likelihood of her going into labor is pretty high. She's 2 weeks overdue anyway. Maybe she should preempt all of that Chilul Yom Tov potentially and go to the hospital beforehand and not have to worry about it on Yom Tov itself. This ended up being a major machlokas between the Gedolim of our generation, who some felt, absolutely, you have to do everything possible to avoid Chilul Shabbos, potentially, and therefore you should make sure to go to the hospital before and ask them to do an induction before Shabbos or Yom Tov begins. This way you won't have the problem. So why don't we do that every Shabbos? When a woman is pregnant, why don't we? Because the likelihood of her going into labor this Shabbos is very unlikely. But in this case, where she was 2 weeks overdue, the likelihood was much higher. So that's why some felt that she should go. And others thought, what are you talking about? If a woman goes into labor on Shabbos, she's a chalash yesh v'sakana, and we'll drive and we'll do everything for her, and there's no reason to feel bad about it. And that's the protocol we should follow. Why would you push up a labor? Why would you say that she has to go into the hospital earlier just because maybe Shabbos or Yom Tov is in the way? It's not in the way. It's not a problem. If she goes into labor, then we'll do whatever needs to be done, as we would for any chol. Interesting shayla. But anyway, the Gemara here says that Mafteach Shalchaya, the moment of birth, is something that was not given over to anyone else other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And finally, the Gemara says, Mafteach Shal Tchiyas HaMesim. The ability for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mechayim Mesim was something that was not given over to anyone else other than the Ribono Shel Olam himself. So these three things. Writes, in fact, Rabbi Eitan Feiner from the White Shul once told me, that is documented, I never looked it up, but he said he read it, that the Queen of England, before her coronation, when was that, 50-something years ago, more? How long ago was she coronated? What? A long time ago. No, much more than 50 years ago. I think she died at 90, 92, 93, right? And I think she took the position at 20-something. So 70-something years ago. So anyway, so apparently Rabbi Feiner told me that at the time, there were big studies that were done in anticipation for her coronation. They were trying to figure out with all the meteorologists what is the day that is least likely to have rain in England. And they did a study from all the 50 years of research that they had of meteorology reporting of what is the least likely time that there's going to be rain, and that's when they call the coronation. And it turns out they made the coronation on that day, and it was pouring cats and dogs. Rabbi Feinberg likes to say it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying, you think that you're in charge, you think you're going to do all this research, I'm going to show you. You can be the Queen of England, you can be a very important person, and I'll bring the rain. Anyway, that's his anecdote, very interesting story. Maybe you can look it up. I don't know if it's actually true, but this is what he claims. Anyway, interesting. Writes the Ritva. So why is Gishamim in the middle of Tchias HaMesim? We're having a whole bracha about Tchias HaMesim. Why do we talk about the rain in the middle of all that? What's the connection? They have to have some kind of connection. The Ritva explains as follows. Be honest for a minute. We talk about Tchias HaMesim. It's one of the animamans, right? Anyone here have a hard time believing, like, what do you mean? Tchias HaMesim is actually going to happen? Like, what do you mean? You have someone who's dead and buried for 1,000 years? You're telling me Moshe Rabbeinu is going to like come back, like roll out of the ground and all of a sudden just be alive again? So like maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will create a new Moshe Rabbeinu or a new Aaron, but like everyone's just going to come rolling out of all those graves in Har HaZeisim and we're just going to have like people everywhere? Really? So you're an apikoros if you say like I'm saying, right? Like we're supposed to believe in Tchias HaMesim. I'm just saying practically like it's hard to wrap our heads around. Like what is this even going to look like? What's that going to mean? Who... Like, how old are they going to be? Like, is Moshe Rabbeinu going to be, like, 5,000 years old, 3,000 years old? Or is he going to be, like, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, 120-year-old? I don't know. Like, you look much older if you fight. I don't know. All these kinds of things. Interesting. So, says the Ritva, if you ever doubted Tchias HaMesim, because it's just so unrealistic in your experience of life, what is it even going to look like? Says the Ritva, did someone just walk out because they said apikursus or because they had to go? Please finish off the sentence for her. Let her know that I didn't stop there. So the Ritva says, the answer is, look at the rain. The rain is the greatest proof to Tchias HaMesim. You take a dead seed after you eat an apple. The seed is rotten. The seed has no potential, has nothing. You take the seed, you put it into the ground. What happens? It decomposes. So now it's worse than it was before. After it decomposes, and then it rains, all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes life out of something that was totally lifeless, something that was dead. Says the Ritva, that is exactly what Tchias HaMesim is going to be. So he says, if you ever have doubts about whether or not Tchias HaMesim is something that's a reasonable possibility in your lifetime, think no further than the way that plants and trees grow. It's exactly that process. It's the process of Tchias HaMesim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives rain, and it then gives life to all of these lifeless items in our lives that had no meaning or purpose at all. And that is the way the Ritva explains why Masha Baruach belongs in the first bracha of Shemona Esrei, in the second bracha of Shemona Esrei, when we talk about this ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Mechaya HaMesim, that is expressed most prominently in the ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu also to give life to that which is lifeless in our world as we know it. Now Rabbi Yelapian has an extremely insightful, a very powerful observation. And I want to learn it together. It's in his Sefer Lev Eliyahu, where he talks about rain in general. Let's see what he writes. V'haklal tireh. He says, if you look around the world, you will find something that is a general principle that we find in so many aspects of our lives. Shekol davar hanitzrach l'kiyum kol ha'olam. Anything that is completely necessary, absolutely essential in our world, for the world to exist, sham tireh, in that element you will find, seder v'diuk gadol, Asher tuchal lasos cheshbon b'mishtaro mitziuso u'mahalcho lizmanim aruchim ve'af ledoros. I don't understand anything about meteorology. It's not my strength. However, if you have someone who studied this, someone who understands it, they will tell you the pattern, the cycle, the orbit, the revolution. They'll tell you exactly when we're going to have a lunar eclipse, a solar eclipse, years in advance. Years in advance. How do they know how to predict it? So it's not them guessing, like, oh, maybe in another 10 years this is going to happen. No, no, no. They know with precision exactly when it's going to happen, how long it's going to last, what time of day it's going to be. Why is that? Why is that? Because imagine if the sun and the moon and all the galaxies didn't do exactly what they were supposed to do. If things went wrong by 1 millisecond... we would all die, right? It's just, we wouldn't be able to exist. We wouldn't survive. It would be too hot, too cold, whatever it would be. The whole system would be thrown off. And that's why they can predict with absolute accuracy exactly what is going to happen with regard to all of those aspects of our lives. Okay. And he writes, Lizmanim aruchim ve'af ledoros. Sometimes years in advance they can make these predictions. V'im ken. And if that is the case, Nish'elas ha'she'ela, you have to ask yourself, why is that not the case when it comes to rain? When it comes to rain, he says, Zukukim b'nei adam lahem ma'od ma'od. We cannot survive without rain. Chol ha'chaim teluyim b'hem. If we don't have rain, we don't have anything to drink. We don't have produce. Ki'ilu haya ha'gishamim ne'etzarim shana achar shana. So you'll say, we have reservoirs, we have water coolers. At some point, if the water dries up, we have no rain. We cannot survive. Haya nasa rab ba'olam. We would all die from starvation. V'chol abruim ha'anashim ha'chayos ha'behemos v'ha'ofos v'ha'shratzim v'ha'ramasim v'chol ba'alei ha'chayim ha'yifugarim meisim u'batol yeshuva shalola. If we didn't have rain, all the animals would die as well. All the vegetation, everything would die. In Cain, ma hatam, why is it? She'b'chol davar asher nitzrach ha'olam bo b'yoser. Why is it that in every other aspect of life, which is so essential for the world to be able to run, Hinhigo HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'seder u'v'mishtar b'yoser. It is all set up with an absolutely predictable and precise calculation. It cannot be off. It never is off. Kimoshen esbar lemala v'lo ya'ara b'shum ofen al piderach ha'teva she'hashemesh shelo tizrach b'abokir. You will never wake up in the morning to a day when the sun did not rise. You will never go to sleep at night to a day where the sun did not set. Now, okay, I'm going to get some online listener who's going to email me, yes, I live in Stockholm, and I live in St. Petersburg where the sun does rise. Okay, we're not talking about that. We're talking about in a normal course of events in a regular community. Yes, I have to make these caveats because people do send me these emails. I got it. Got your question? Not relevant to the discussion. Point is, if you're living in most regular places where the sun rises and sets every day, there's an accuracy we know exactly when it's going to happen. V'chein ha'levana v'ha'kochavim v'ha'mazelos b'kviyusam v'chein mitzmichas azriya v'aretz. We know when things are going to grow, which season of year. It never changes. What would happen if all of a sudden citrus fruits decided that they weren't going to grow in warm climates anymore and you needed a cold? Like, that just doesn't happen. These things don't happen. Everything is completely accurate. Lot simsa, you will not find, she'im yavdu b'sada karoi, you will not find that if you plant a field properly, v'yashkena, and you water it, and you do everything that's necessary, shetis akesh v'lo totzi peiros, you won't find that that ground just will say, you know what, stubborn this year. I'm not giving you fruits this year. V'lo agishamim ain't on a rom b'hem shum so, shum seder. When it comes to rain, it's totally unpredictable. It's at random. V'yesh shana shchuna, v'yesh shana gishuma. There are some years that unfortunately we have a drought. There are other years that are plenty. Some that are dry and some that are wet. Chem ba'os ha'shana atzma. L'famim yordam ha'gisham b'revir rishonu v'lamim mishniya. There are times when you have all the rain falls at one season of the year or at a different season of the year. V'yesh ha'shem is'achem har b'yoser v'chein ha'hepoch. V'gam b'hapsakim she'enam t'midiyim. Sometimes it can be months between one rainstorm and another, and sometimes it could be every day. V'chazal matzinu kama pamim shelo yardu gishamim v'hisanu. U'ma tam yesh b'zeh she'nishtanu ha'gishamim mikol seder olam halo davarhu. Isn't it strange, he says. Now, maybe you've never thought of this. I never thought of it till I read it in the Sefer. But it's an amazing point. Why is that? Why is rain so much different than every other aspect of the scientific world where we can predict with an absolute accuracy exactly what's going to happen? And if that didn't happen, our world would self-destruct. Our world would not be able to survive. And he explains as follows. Aval tav hadavar hu adarab. Davka mepnei shekol kiyam ha'olam tali b'yiridas ha'gishamim. Since we see, b'chush, we see clearly that the world needs rain, since we experience the fact that without rain, we will not survive, we know it. It's not something in theory. It's something we know. Therefore, hiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu davar zeh b'lo seder kavua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically said, when it comes to rain, you're not going to have a seder. You're not going to have a prediction of exactly when it's going to happen or not. Kidei sheyizkeru b'nei adam v'lo yishkehu, ki akol tolei b'yad Hashem yizbarach. How are we going to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world? It's very hard. We have a world that basically runs itself. We have a world where everything is pre-programmed, where everything just goes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referring to himself, as the Navi Yeshaya says, as a Kel Mestater, the Ribbono Shel Olam hides himself. Like my father likes to say, he did such a good job hiding himself that we don't even know that he's missing. We don't even know that he's there. When you play hide and go seek, you know you're looking for someone. When you're in our world, living this life, you don't even know you're supposed to be looking for someone. Everything's just perfect. Everything's fine. Imagine if one day the whole world just decided to do whatever it wanted. Then we would cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Lev Eliyahu, Rabbi Elafyan, he says, that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam reserved the ability of the rain not to go ala seder. Since human beings see b'chush, they understand that without rain, we cannot survive. We will not be successful. We won't be able to make it through. We won't have a functioning society. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to hold on to the rain to make sure that you have the ability to remember that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world that you need to rely on. Im Yasu Yisrael Ritzono, Yara Lehem Matar. After all, we say it every day in our Kriya Shema. V'nasati mitar artzachem bi'ito yorel makosh. V'hayam shamoa. It's only if you listen to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you follow the kind of lifestyle you're supposed to be living, then the Ribbono Shel Olam in turn will give you geshamim. Why is it tali on geshamim? Why is it all about rain? What about rain is so important? The answer is because rain is so essential. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the way for you to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in your life and needs to always remain a presence in your life is, look at the rain. Look at the absence of rain. Look at the abundance of rain and understand, this is why you have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I thought that this was such a beautiful way to think about it. Now that we say Masha Baruch, it's an opportunity for us to be reminded, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives us rain. Without the Ribbono Shel Olam's bracha, we won't have it. And this is what he reserved in all the teva, in all the galaxies and in everything that goes on in our world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reserved this area of our lives to remind us that you have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And without it, you will not be successful. Without it, you won't have anything. Either way, as we mentioned, we begin reciting Mashiv HaRuach on Sukkot, on Shmini Atzeres at the very end. And then we begin reciting Saint Talamater in Eretz Yisrael 2 weeks later. So the question was, if we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Mashiv HaRuach, as the one who brings rain, then why don't we say that Shevach all year long? Who asked that question? Someone here asked that. That was a great question. If it's a Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it belongs in the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei, why don't we say it all year long? So Rav Soloveitchik actually asked that question. And my father writes from Rav Soloveitchik that the answer is as follows. He argued that a bracha always has to be recited based on our perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time. So he argued as follows. The Gemara tells us, Kishem Shem Mevarchan Ala Tov, Kach Mevarchan Ala Ra. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the positive things that happen in our lives. And unfortunately, when negative things happen, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. We have to make a bracha to recognize that that's from the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's the bracha? What do you say? When something good happens, the Gemara says, you say HaTov HaMeitiv. What about when something negative happens? What do you say? What? Dayan HaEmes. Ask Rav Soloveitchik. I don't understand. If you believe Be'emunah Shleima that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that gave you both, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always looking out for you, and He's always taking care of you, then when something negative happens in your life, you should say the same bracha, Tov HaMeitiv. So somebody dies in the family, Rachman of the Son, we should get up all together and say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tov HaMeitiv. What do you mean? We don't say that. We say, Nebuch, HaDayin HaEmes, it's terrible. So why do we do that? Why do we do that? If we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave both of those experiences into our lives, we should just make one bracha, HaTov HaMeitiv. The answer is no, because right now, my perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not HaTov HaMeitiv. Yes, in the subconscious, somewhere in my whatever I believe, all this was for the good, Kol Ma'adav Rachmana L'Tavid, but right now, what I'm experiencing, what I see in front of me is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Dayan HaEmes. He's passing very stern and strict judgment on me. And therefore, I have to make a bracha that is commensurate with the understanding that I have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this moment in time. And that's why at that kind of moment I say Adayna Emes. When I have something positive that happens in my life, I say the bracha of Hatov HaMeitov. I'll give you another example. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we say every day in our Shemona Esrei, HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibar, VaHanora, we say so many superlatives about our Kadosh Baruch Hu in the way we describe Him. Says the Gemara, the Nevi'im came along in the days of the Churban HaBayis, and they said, HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibar, VaHanora, this is HaKel, HaGibar? How strong is the Ribbono Shel Olam? He couldn't even hold on to His own Beis HaMikdash. HaGadol, HaGibar, VaHanora, really, you're so wondrous? You couldn't figure out how to keep the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael? You allowed the Nachrim to come in and kick us out and destroy the Jewish people? What's HaKel? So they got rid of it. They said, don't say HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibar, VaHanora. We don't say it. So what? Excuse me. With all due respect, I love the Nevi'im, but how can they come along and say, take out words of the Shemona Esrei? The Ribbono Shel Olam is no longer HaGadol, HaGibar, VaHanora because it doesn't fit in with your experience of what you're seeing in Churban Beis HaMikdash? How dare they? How can they say such a thing? The answer is, you're right. You think the Nevi'im would play around with the Shemona Esrei? No. The reason why they did is because it has to be something that fits the perception of what I perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time in my life. Right now, as we're living through Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, are living through a Churban Beis HaMikdash, seeing the destruction of the Jewish people, right now they said, we cannot say with a straight face, HaKel HaGadol HaGibar VaHanora. Do we believe it in the subconscious? Yes. Do we have bitachon that all this was l'tav of it? Yes. But right now, the way we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is not that description. And when we recite a bracha, it has to be something that is recited with the understanding that we have of the Ribbono Shel Olam at that time. Which is why, based on that, Rav Soloveitchik explained, this is why at different seasons of the year, we say Mashav HaRuach and sometimes we don't. When it's the rainy season, then we say, right now, our understanding, our perception, our vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such that we see Him as the Mashav HaRuach Umarad HaGeshem. At other seasons of the year, now in America, it doesn't really correspond to anything because it rains all the time. We don't have different seasons. But in Eretz Yisrael in the Middle East, they do have that. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael, they say, at certain times of the year, the way they perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you are HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibar, VaHanor, you are the Mechaya HaMesim, you are the Mashav HaRuach HaMor HaGeshem. That's the way we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that season of year. Different times of the year, we say, no, that's not appropriate. That's not something that really we relate to. Right now, we don't see any rain. Right now, it's not the rainy season. Right now, we're afraid that maybe the crops are not going to grow. We don't know what's going to be. The rainy season didn't come yet. We don't know how it's going to play out. Right now, all we see is you are the Morad HaTov. Right? Nusra Svard says that. Or some Ashkenazim say it as well. Or right now, we leave out Mashav HaRuach because right now, we don't see you as such. And brachos always have to be commensurate with our perception, our perspective of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at that time. That's why I once said, there's a big discussion. The Gemara says, if you see a phenomenal Talmud Chacham, you make a bracha, Shechalach mechachmaso li'reyav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave some of His chachma to those who have great Yerushalayim. So there's a big discussion in other contexts, do we say that there's a din Talmud Chacham is manazeh or not? So let's say the Gemara says in Maseches Baba Basra, that when we have community taxes, everybody has to contribute to certain things. So the Gemara says a great Talmud Chacham in town doesn't have to pay a certain tax. It doesn't mean he evades tax. It means we exempt him from paying taxes, not that he on his own should decide. So the community decides, this person is an exceptional person, doesn't have to pay taxes on whatever. There's some kind of income tax that was charged. So the question is, in many of the Acharonim, they discuss, if we believe Ein Talmud Chacham is manazeh, if we don't really have a Talmud Chacham today with regard to many other halachos of Choshen Mishpat, then maybe we should say, if you see a Talmud Chacham today, you don't make a bracha shechalak mechach maso li'reya because we don't really have Tamei Chachamim. So it's a good argument, right? What's the answer? I think the answer is, our brachas have to be based on our perception. So is this person technically a Talmud Chacham enough? A bracha, yes, no, maybe yes, maybe no. But as far as I'm concerned, I never met Moshe Rabbeinu. I never met the Shulchan Aruch. I never met the Ramah or the Menchas Chinuch or Rabbi Kivegar or the Chassam Sofer. What I'm left with is the Talmid Chacham of my generation. Those are the people that I perceive as being great Talmid Chacham. New, when I make a bracha, it always has to be commensurate to my perception, to my understanding. So I'm able to make a bracha in my generation, Shechalak Mechachmas Alireya, because to me, I see this person as a great Talmud Chacham. Maybe that's the reason why, even though in many other areas of halacha we say, Ein Din Talmud Chacham is manazeh, when it comes to this halacha, making a bracha, we still would do that today. Why? Because as far as I'm concerned, this person in my eyes is a great Talmud Chacham, and therefore, based on my perception, it's something that would be sufficient cause for me to make that bracha. Okay, I think we're going to stop here.